Kurt, your efforts in the marathon today have been supplanted by these bomb blasts. Where were you when you heard them?
Yeah, I was just in a restaurant about 100 metres down the road, and they... Sorry, mate. I just thought I'm a bit jumpy. I thought I heard something else. So
okay.
Just sitting down having dinner, mate, and these two big thunderclaps hit, and kind of just thought, wait, it's a beautiful day outside. What's going on? And then I went to the window, and we're overlooking one of the off streets there for the main course. Like seriously, like 100 off the finish, and people started running by the front, and then you started to get a bit worried and trying to get in contact with people, and you know, I just got back to my hotel, which is the race hotel, which is on lockdown and security kind of everywhere and all that. But mate, it's a bloody bit of a terrible thing, you know, and a bit of a shocker.
So the first thing you thought when you heard, you actually literally thought it was thunder. There was a storm in the vicinity.
So yeah, thunder, but louder, you know, when it's like a thunderclap that hits near where you're sitting, and you feel it go, and then you just. And then it happened again, and 10 seconds later, and you're just thinking, "Oh, this isn't right." But it couldn't be what you think it is, you know. It couldn't be a bomb blast. But then when everyone took off, it's a bit chilling, mate. Makes me feel, a little bit strange.
And the footage I've seen, as I explained to the radio reporter, because it's on the finish line of a marathon, the people running are physically exhausted. They're getting knocked over, then trying to pick themselves up. But having run 42 kilometres, they're absolutely staffed. What could you see when you look down on the road?
Everyone's just chilled. Everyone's just, you've got this look on their face like it's, you're a bit vacant, you know, can't believe that it's kind of happening. And, you know, I didn't want to go any closer to the finish line. I don't want to get in people's road, and I don't want to see, you know, the sights that I'm seeing on Twitter and the like, because it's, you know, it's some pretty gory stuff, and you know, it's a bit of a, you know, it's been a bit of shock, man. It's, yeah, you don't expect this sort of stuff to happen when you're sitting outside, you know.
You've been in multiple Boston marathons. I think this is your 13th. How big an event is it? How many spectators and runners, especially at the crowded finish line area, are there?
It's the one thing that the pride that they have in these events, you know, New York's the same ilk. The amount of people that come to support, and it's their marathon, you know, it's the people of Boston's marathon, and you know, the whole week, everywhere you go, people are wishing you luck, and you're here for the marathon, and it's a real kind of, it's an atmosphere that you can't replicate anywhere else. That we can't have a race like this at home. We just don't get the same community kind of ownership of it. And when you're going down that last mile, it's you know, 10 deep, it's people screaming, and it's hard to think that a couple of hours ago you're pumping down that finish line and it was just, you know, thick with people, and you just kind of, I want to kind of wait for news and hear that it was an accident, that it was a transformer blew, or that it was something that is, you know, not as sinister and as terrible as what it kind of seems at the moment.
And of course, it attracts the attention of the world, lots of Australians. Am I right? Did Rob DiCostella take his Indigenous runners there because the New York Marathon had been cancelled? Was Deke there this time around?
Yeah, Deke's here. Deke's here with a young Indige girl from up near Catherine, and she's still on the course. She's the one person that we haven't been able to track down. You hit everyone as soon as you found out. You kind of hit every Aussie that you know is here and within a few blocks. And the young wheelchair racer here is 18, and you know, I just left him an hour or so ago, and you know, he was hard to catch because he doesn't have a mobile working, and we got him via social media as well, so he's all good. And yeah, the only one that we're waiting for is the last Indige Marathon group. So hopefully all is good, mate. But well, it's not all good. It looks shit. It looks terrible. Apologies, but it looks like a real, you know, terrible event. But
and so what's happened? You'd say this group that hasn't finished yet, but I'm seeing images of what looks like the area finish line's been shut down. Are people still running and finishing somewhere else? Do you know what's happened to the runners who were still on course a long way from the finish when this happened?
What? So guys would be running about 3.5 hours, I think, at that stage. Mate, the whole area is on lockdown. You know, like, where my hotel is on the finish line, or about, you know, 100 metres past the finish line, and there's troopers everywhere, there's coppers, you know, everywhere, and even the marathon the marathon crew now are wearing, they're kind of brought in their own security as well. So you're not finishing. You're not getting near that finish line right now. There's too many people there that need to actually do their job, you know, and to heal people. And from what I've seen, mate, it's grisly down there. And I don't intend to end down there. And I would say that they'll just turn everyone off the course within the last kilometre and just wish everyone a good day. You know, there's something that's bigger than sport or bigger than, you know, a day in itself. You know, and this is one of those times you've just got to everyone go home and hope that people, you know, don't lose their lives and families get to be with each other.